time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hey, this is Lee Bockham, and you're with us on the Thriveology Podcast. As you know, this is a podcast all about how to thrive, how to grow, how to mature, how to become all that you're meant to be. And today, as always, I want to bring you a special piece of information, but this week it's an interview. I got a chance to talk just recently with Tony Edgell. Tony is an interesting guy because he came from the corporate world. But he knew that there was something else out there for him, something bigger for him, and that bigger was a calling to change the world. You see, Tony admits that he was a bully when he was in school, and then he was a bar bully when he was an adult. And he found a lot of his self-esteem in having strength and size, but one day realized that there was something else going on. And as he says, he had to look in the mirror and deal with that person in the mirror and then begin to become who he wanted to be. And as that process transformed him, he realized that he had a message to change the world. So today we're going to talk about his recent book, The Hero Within, and that's all about how to tap into that own place of meaning and purpose in your own life. So now let's go to the interview with Tony Edgell. Tony, thanks for being here. I appreciate your time and your energy, and I also am glad that you're able to share with the Thriveology audience.
Hello, Lee.
Tony, one of the places I always like to start is kind of how you got to here. And we're going to talk some about you've got a book coming out and you've got a message to share. But the place to start is how you arrived at that message, how you arrived at this point. So why don't you just kind of tell us some about your life story that got you to here?
Interesting how I got there. I got to here about 3 to 4 to 5 years ago. I'll say 4 years ago, Lee looked in the mirror. I still remember this, and I didn't like who I was looking at. I didn't like who I was what I stood for, and who I was in the world. All this started going through my head looking in the mirror. Everything started going through my head like, I was a high school bully. Made a lot of people feel bad. Had a lot of anger problems. Would go into bars and get into fights and just had a lot of anger problems. And to this day, the quote that just kept going through my head over and over and over again is, oh God, I love this quote. Be the change you want to see in the world. And I'm sure everyone knows who this quote is, but it's Gandhi. And from that day on, I just went through a huge transformation. I just started studying and reading and doing a lot of things to transform my life. And that's how I came up with a 90-day program that's in my book.
Okay. So what is the change that you want to see in the world that you were trying to be?
Oh, that's easy. Just extreme, a lot more love and peace and joy in this world.
And tell me some more about that. I mean, it's kind of three great words that mean a lot to different people. What does that mean for you? And what are you hoping for people?
Thank you. Thank you for that. Well, what I'm hoping for people is, number one, that peace, love, and joy, I think, starts when you actually wake up in the morning every day and you actually feel excited for the day and you have passion. And that's called living your purpose deep inside. I think the more people we have that are living your purpose in life, the more peace, love, and joy we have. And if you're asking my definition of it, would be just watch the news. All that dark stuff, all the war. Just, we don't need that in this world.
Okay, so if I can kind of pick behind that, while what you wanted to be was more peace, love for yourself and bring that into the world, what
Absolutely.
Really was focusing that was a place of purpose.
Yes, yes. Well, that I came across that on my journey, but it started out as a wow, how do I become a more loving, peaceful person in the world? You know, the best way I can explain this is before I had this experience in front of the mirror, on Facebook, I'm posting anti-war posts and I'm doing everything else. Meanwhile, I'm this guy that's out. I mean, I'm not making it sound like I did it every day, but I definitely had gotten in road rage and I definitely had anger problems in the car. So I'm this guy that's actually posting, you know, anti-war stuff on Facebook, but yet I'm not taking responsibility for who I am or who I'm being in this world. And how it works is the more I kept going, the more I found the purpose inside of me, which I say is from your, what I call your heart and your soul. It's buried deep down inside of us.
Let's just chase that a little bit. You talked about the fact that your outward purpose was peace. You're posting these things on anti-war, but within you the war was raging. Within you, yes. Something was still going on.
I'm going to steal that from you, Lee.
So
I like that.
What do you think it was that was that dichotomy between the outside and the inside?
That's a great question. I guess it was something I was mentally conscious of war, but I wasn't really conscious. I was sort of throwing punches sort of at war and everything else and operating like I do now, like I was now sort of like a bully doing that, even putting people down, even about war and everything in a bully way, I would call it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I said?
Yeah,
do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. you were kind of aggressively being peaceful.
Yeah. I love this. I'm going to remember a couple of this. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I start the book out with my own quote, and my own quote basically says, "The purpose of my book is to make the world better and more beautiful."
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want out of my book and out of this world. Man, let's just make it more better and more beautiful for our kids and our grandkids. And we can all do that as people.
Hmm. I wonder, though, what there is that place for all of us. I mean, I think if you talk to most people, they would agree with you that it'd be great to have a more peaceful world. And yet, we all are the ones who are impatiently standing in line, kind of pushing the bumper of the person in front of us when all those little places where not so peaceful comes out.
Absolutely.
So how do we move from that mindset of wanting a more peaceful place to actualizing it in our own lives? Because you're right, the only place I can start is with each of us.
There's two places I think that you start at. And the first one it's how I start my book. Actually, it's in chapter 2. It's how we became the person we are and how our thoughts, how we think as a person and how our thoughts are different from someone else. And where I'm going with this is when we came in this world, babies, we had an empty vessel. We had, how do these thoughts get in our head? And stay with me because it's important with this. And how they get programmed in our head, what I like to call it program, train, condition, is by everybody we've been associated with. We've been, people like parents, relatives, that includes aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, coaches, teachers, and the biggest one, society, and I like to call society the TV, what we saw on TV and our experiences in life. And what that comes to is these thoughts in our head. There's some thoughts that are disempowering us to actually live the life we were supposed to live. And some of this some of these thoughts actually create some things like you're saying, anger and all that. And then I'll go the second step. The second step is that is a gold mine. When you're having anger, oh, that is such a gold mine deep inside. That anger is actually a feeling from your heart. And it's an indicator that anger is saying, okay, it's a feeling, it's an emotion, it's energy. But where does that come from? There's something that happened to us in our childhood giving us that anger. And that it's being created by us to actually heal and become whole. And when you get in touch with that, that's where the beautiful healing is.
Let's talk some about getting in touch with that. I mean, when you're angry, you're revved up.
Absolutely.
So you're not suggesting that the revved up part is what we're in touch with?
Yes, I'm saying absolutely. I'm saying, well, just recognize and let it go through you. Like, oh, okay. It's a good thing you just go, oh, it's a feeling, it's emotion. You sure let go, get through all of you. But then you dig deep down. Just think about it. Two people can have two different things that anger them and trigger them. Two complete different people. Why is that? Well, that is because the one person had a different experience than the other one as a child. Like, I'll give you my example. Best way to give you my example is I was bullied at home, and it was very obvious that I was never good enough for my father. And that is one of the biggest triggers for my anger. And when I started getting angry and dug deep in that treasure chest and found out that, oh, wow, that's the reason I get angry, and was able to heal that, that's when you can act healing ourselves and healing who we are as a human being.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's kind of do real life example. I'm talking with a friend and something happens and I find myself angry about what's going on. What do I do to begin to use that as the gold mine, the treasure chest?
Well, the first thing you would do is pick up a chair and throw it against the wall. No, I'm just kidding. The first thing you would do is just let yourself go, wow, okay, this isn't me. This isn't who I am. This is an energy. It's an actual feeling. It's an actual energy. And then when actually energy leaves you, and it doesn't take long, especially when you don't attach to it. Now, the other big thing, I'm glad I thought of that, is don't attach to it. Don't attach to that feeling. There's a difference between letting it go through you and attaching to it and then like making bigger stories out. And when that energy has gone through you and you're basically back where you were, then start getting with yourself. Start going, what was it that was said that really triggered me, and why? And why? And go deep down inside through meditation or something, and you'll be surprised how quickly you actually start figuring out how you start figuring this out and how you're able to figure this out.
Okay. Part of one of my, and I think we're kind of, you and I are speaking a very similar language. I want to just test this out for you and see. One of my core theories about anger is that anger really is an external manifestation of an internal hurt.
Man, you're good at saying stuff. Yes.
So, and your theory is that hurt comes from childhood or whatever, but whatever it is, that the hurt's coming out as that angry energy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's, I guess some people call it law of attraction, whatever. We're attracting this to us. We're attracting it, and it's why we're attracting it is because our soul wants to be healed.
We're attracting the opportunity to
The experience, absolutely. We are attracting that experience.
Okay. So back to your story. Looking back on that, how did you attract that? It sounds like you were kind of the bar gave you the place to re-experience that, to put yourself in a place where you could work on that process. How do you find yourself having been attracted into that? What pulled you in?
What pulled me in? I will say two things. Number one, I'd like to say there was another thing going on with when I used to be a barroom fighter, and it's how big the story was in me that's what real men do, and that's how they operate. And I learned that through childhood experiences, and I learned that in TV. I mean, just think of what we look on TV or movies and how a man is portrayed. So there was a story behind that. And the second thing, yes, there was, I was attracting a situation, or I was looking for it, however you want to call it, and there was anger involved where I wanted to prove this. And yes, it actually worked out where there was a time in my life where I finally said, whoa, I don't like being this person. I don't like being this. And it started my whole healing process. But the healing process can be healed until you actually figure out why you're being healed. Or we're just doing what a lot of us have been taught in life is pushing down our feelings and suppressing them. And that's not a good thing to do.
Okay. So if we can take that, there's a piece of this process. Your book is about finding the hero within. Do I have that right?
It's called The Hero Inside You.
Yes. So you're finding that hero within. Mm-hmm. Tell me where you get, what's that idea of the hero inside you? Can you tell me some about that process and what do you mean by that hero? Because what I'm hearing in that is that there's a cultural kind of hero that's not a hero. It's the opposite of that we've been taught.
Right.
And you're trying to get to a different place. So tell me what it means with that hero inside.
The hero inside is that someday, like me, you look back and go, holy mackerel, I was that person. And you're like, oh my God, I'm this person in the world. And you just feel so good about it. And you feel so great. And not only that, there's a second thing comes from a hero. It's a hero comes from a place of service, And the place of service is, wow, now how can I serve this world, this universe? And that's hero, because you are a hero to somebody and their life. There's something you're doing that becomes, you're just, without you, their whole life could be different. It could be one person, or it could be many, many, many people. But you're serving people for the idea of helping them and serving them.
Okay. And so if I kind of read between the lines, what keeps you from being that hero are those wounds that you keep reenacting with anger or whatever.
Yes, that's step two, I think. I think very, 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 very step one is the day you realize that, wow, some of these thoughts might not be, I have to question some of my own thoughts. And these thoughts, are they actually letting me become who I want to be in the world and letting me do who I want to become, who I want to be? Am I free with these thoughts? Mm-hmm. I think the better word would be free. I think that is step one. I mean, I still remember the day where I thought all my thoughts, I never questioned them. That was it. That was just how I was trained, conditioned. That's how it was. And until you come to that day and then you start just really watching your thoughts and thinking about it. I personally believe that's step one. And then step two is realizing, wow, I can be different in this world. And that's when life just goes, wow, life is just so amazing for you.
Okay. If people who are listening probably are familiar, one of the phrases that I use all the time is a thought is just a thought. It's not real. It's just a thought. And so that sounds like that's very similar to your realization in step one, that you don't have to believe everything that pops in your head.
That's correct. Or even react to it. I would say a good word is react to it. Like my example is I'm like, I don't have to be this guy that proves he's a man any day. It was so important for me to be that macho tough man.
And somewhere along the way that got questioned for you. How did it happen for you? What was the realization that thought had no bearing? Or didn't have to have a bearing? What happened?
Well, like I said, I would say number one, it started in the mirror. And number two is when I started reading and listening to people, started really digging deep, and they started talking so much about thoughts. And one of the people was Wayne Dyer, I remember. And then I just started coming into grips with this. And the other time was actually, I just was thinking about it myself. It was like a weird realization. I live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and they have the Amish people, and I guess everybody in our phone knows who Amish are. They drive horse and buggies, where it's like a cult or culture or something, a religious culture, and the guys wear hats and have long beards, the women wear bonnets, they all dress alike. And I said, one day I just went, you know what? If I had Amish parents, then I would be Amish. I know that sounds strange to say, but it was just my wake up. It was like, wow. So how was my thoughts? Why do I think some of the thoughts I do?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting you named them because you talk about a peace loving group.
Amish?
Yes.
Definitely. I would call them a very forgiving group.
Well, and in fact, you probably have a lot of contact with the story of after the shooting in the Amish school. You know, they sought to forgive the shooter and met with the family to do that.
You got it. I live probably 5 miles, 10 miles from where that shooting took place, so I know the story very, very well.
Amazing story.
My actual housekeeper's Amish. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so at some point you realize that your thoughts had been created through where you've been versus had you been somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And you decided that you could put those thoughts up, not necessarily to kick them out of your head, but at least to hold them at a little distance, little separation from them.
That's correct. And the other thing is, I think, is I started putting new thoughts in there. And I'm big on that is affirmation. You know, new thoughts in there. And after each one of my chapters, I give 3 affirmations to go with a chapter. And it was funny. It's how my book goes is sort of how I grew. But I give 3 affirmations to say. And affirmations are amazing. It could be just as simple as if you don't think you're beautiful, I am beautiful. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't think you're beautiful and you start saying I am beautiful, it's going to be extremely hard words to say. And you're going to not believe it, and it's not going to be hard. It's going to be very, very difficult. But keep it up and become a habit, a great habit. And just keep it up, and you'll be surprised in maybe anywhere from 20 to 30 to 60 days, it's going to become very easy for you. And at least it's getting in your conscious and your subconscious at that point.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting that we believe every thought in our head until we have to say a thought.
Yeah.
And then we struggle with it.
Right. Yeah. And think about that. Think about what we just said there and what my example was with somebody believing that they're not beautiful. I mean, just how sad is that? And the reason is, it goes back to these stories. Somewhere along this person's journey, someone told them they weren't beautiful. Who knows what age, whatever. And it might have only been one sentence, but that one sentence changed their entire life. Mm. You know, and now you talk about a thought. That thought is in there. And it's like, it's so hard to believe, but that's where transformation starts. And that's where the whole thing starts with that. Just saying that affirmation and being, which I have a whole chapter on chapter 3, courageous heart. Follow your courageous heart. You have a very, very courageous heart, and start saying, I am beautiful. I am beautiful. And it's going to be challenging the first week, but your courageous heart will get you through that.
Tell me about that courageous heart. What's a courageous heart?
Courageous heart is, I do this with stories. I get so many stories on this. Is your heart is telling you something. It's letting you know something that it thinks that you should be doing, or soul, I'm going to call it. It's more your soul, I believe, but I'll just call it your courageous heart. And the courageous heart, I still remember one time I'm coming home from the airport, Baltimore Airport, and it's like 2 a.m. and it's dark. And I passed this broke down car. And I could see, you know, a guy standing there, a young black guy standing there. And I was like, wow, I don't know how many people there. But anyhow, my heart literally started going, go help that guy. Go help that guy. And I'm like, my mind is just going, no way. I'm scared to death. No way. How many people are back there? Are they going to mug me? Are they going to kill me? Are they going to steal everything? But my heart said, go do it. So the next exit, I got off, went back, and long story short, went and helped this guy. And he needed a jump start. I jump start this young guy, and I'll never forget. Whew, beautiful. Him looking in my eyes and saying, I love you. I'll never forget that. It was so beautiful. And it knew you needed heart. Now, I want to tell the audience, when you start listening to your heart, tomorrow, it might not be a story like that. It might not be something so dramatic, but it's like anything else in life. The more you do it, the more you build that muscle, the more you're able to do things like that. I started out, you know, very, very, very small things. And that's my recommendation, is to start out very small. And I mean small, just tomorrow your heart might say, smile at this stranger and say hello. And you might do it, and that stranger might not even say hi back or ever. You'll be like, why did I have to do that? It'll make you feel bad. And maybe your heart will have you keep doing that. And you'll just become a light in the universe. Just by your high and your smile. Anyhow, what I'm saying, it starts out gradually and gradually and gradually until you might be at a point where you see someone broken down and your heart's telling you to do it. Because, you know, I don't believe that's going to happen day one. And then you're even going to get to a point where you were where I was, where my heart was saying, it's time to leave this corporate job. And my head's going, oh my goodness. My heart's going, okay, it's time to go. And, you know, I followed my heart. I followed that, and it was the best thing I've ever done. But again, there's a process to get to that. There's an actual process to start listening to your heart.
If I were to rephrase that a little bit, I would say you're a shift from listening to your hurt to listening to your heart.
You lost me there. Sorry about that.
It sounds like what you're saying, kind of chapter one stuff, is whether you're going to listen to your hurt or you're going to listen to your heart.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Wow, I like you. I didn't hear the hurt part before. Man, oh, man. Lee, next time we ever interviewed again, I'm bringing a tablet and paper down. Holy mackerel.
Well, the nice thing is we're recording this, right?
So wow. I mean, you really have, what's the word you do that? You put it in little blurbs or something. You're really good at that.
So, but that sounds like that's what your process is about, is you've got these pre-programmed places that are making you respond in defensive, and by defensive, I mean even aggressive attacking ways, but that's always a defensive posture. And so you go from the hurt part, the anger part, to listening to your heart or your soul, and that's pulling you towards being loving and actions that, and I don't mean being loving like the gushy feeling, but the actions of that, of caring for the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so it sounds like that's where you begin to move into a process of what's your purpose.
Yes, absolutely. And funny you said that about loving, you know, not everyone's going to be like these two people, but we got some heroes to actually live by their example. Martin Luther King, Gandhi, Rosa Parks, Nelson Mandela. These people, just what they did was out of love.
Yeah, and love, not necessarily always warm feeling love.
Right, right. Right. But I guess that's a great point. There's a actual truth inside of us, and a lot of time it's going to be opposite of what the society's doing.
Yeah.
But it's a truth out of love. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I've had lots of people who come to me with kind of scriptural questions from Christianity and saying, what is this thing about loving your enemy? You know, you can't do that. You can't make yourself feel that way. And my response is, that's not about feeling. It's about action. It's choosing a higher course that is not about responding to your emotions. It's about responding to a decision. You know, Martin Luther King or Gandhi or any of them making a decision to act on a higher level, not based on just the feelings that are evoked from whatever's happened before.
Absolutely. And, you know, my hero, my absolute hero, is Martin Luther King. And one of his books, he talks about that, and he does it in a biblical sense. But anyhow, he says, thank God that God said to love your enemies and not like your enemies. And all that resonated with him. He said, because it is impossible to like your enemies. But he goes, it's not impossible to love your enemies. And that is so true. Right? Yeah. I mean, I'll speak for myself. I think so true.
Yeah, and I think that in some ways it ends up being the difference between reacting to a situation and responding to the situation, that your reaction is going to be out of emotion, but you can choose a response that's based in a deeper place of purpose, of direction.
That's correct. That is correct. Absolutely.
So how does someone find, I mean, you just talked, and I kind of pushed in a different direction, but you were talking about leaving your corporate life. And my guess is you left your corporate life because you discovered a higher calling.
That's, yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And what did that look like for you, and how might somebody else find their bigger calling?
Well, you're going to find that higher calling. You're going to find that deep down inside you, way, way, way away from any noise. And I mean, we're just polluted with noise, I believe. And I'm not saying I don't get involved in noise. You know, I'm part of the internet and whatever. I go to the gym, there's TVs playing, but there's noise, and there's ways to get below that noise. And that is finding out where your purpose is. And two things on that. Number one, I'll say one thing. I don't know what your purpose is, and I don't believe I'll ever be able to tell you your purpose. I don't think anybody can tell somebody what their purpose is. You have to find that deep, deep down inside of you. And the second thing I'd like to say is I see some things out there that's helping people find, saying they're finding their purpose and all that. And it's from the intellect. It's up here in your brain. It's taking a test. It's like something you did in high school. When you find your purpose and meaning, there is absolutely no intellect involved. And that sounds funny. There's no real thought. It's buried deep inside of you. It's at a different place. Your intellect has no place and no, it cannot get you there. It's what you're from your soul and your mind. It's deep down inside of you.
So, the test isn't going to do it. I know those tests you're talking about. How do you begin that process? Let's just say that somebody's listening. They already have a kind of the sense that not every thought's useful, not every thought's real. They have kind of figured out some of where their hurts come from. They've tried to be on a much more conscious path. I mean, I think that would include lots of people who listen to the podcast. But they're trying to figure out what they're called to do, what their purpose is, what's going to bring them meaning. There are lots of ways I could say that, but all that's kind of in that realm. How, if not a test, if it's somewhere within them, how can they tap it?
Again, it's getting down below the noise. And I have a 90-day program, which in my book, but I will say different things. Just there's a whole program in my book at the end of the book, but just little things. I know it sounds little, but I would say number one thing is meditation. Meditation is getting deep down inside beyond the noise. Second thing is just getting by yourself in nature, somewhere quiet, different things like that, but getting in touch with who you, basically what you're doing. I'm going to tell you what you're really doing. You're getting in touch with who you are, not who you've been told you are, and what you should be doing and who you are. There's something inside that knows who you are. And I will say the other thing, there's an unbelievable great benefit to doing my 90-day program and actually, you know, finding your purpose and meaning. You feel incredible. I mean, majority of the time, you feel incredible. I mean, I just know what it feels like when I wasn't living this life and how I felt. I never felt good. I never felt great. And the other thing is, again, this is like your soul talking to you, way of feeling. Like a feeling is, I still remember going to my job and how I felt on like a Sunday night before, if I had to go to work the Monday morning, or Monday morning driving to work after a weekend. That is, again, feelings. There's your feelings. That's indication telling you something. But when you start this whole journey and this whole process, you feel amazing. You feel great.
Okay. I got it. And so part of what you're using is the kind of the reverse of what was leading you in the beginning, the feelings, the gold mine of or the treasure chest of the anger and the strong reactions. Now you're chasing down what brings you sense of freedom and satisfaction.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's talk Go ahead.
Go ahead. Nope, go ahead.
Let's talk some about, you've got a program. There are a couple of components to that. One is you've got a book coming out. So tell me the name of the book again so that everybody gets to hear it.
It's called The Hero Inside You. It will be released October 7th.
Okay. And the best way of getting information about that is to go to your website.
That's correct. My website is tonyedgel.com, and that is T-O-N-Y, Edgel, edgell.com. So that was Tony with a Y and Edge with two L's.com. And on the right-hand side of my homepage, there's a way to click and go right to Amazon. And on my website, I also give you 5 free videos to start having you learn about your purpose, passion, and meaning in those 5 free videos. Again, that was Tony Edgell, T-O-N-Y, Edgell, E-D-G-E-L-L.com.
Okay. And Tony, we'll put the link in the notes below so people can find that. If they happen to be traveling around, you can always go back and find that. So if Tony's message about finding purpose, finding some way of understanding what that crazy feeling is that keeps popping up, how to find some healing for that, if that's resonated with you, please go check out the website and also check out the series. The video series is free. So Tony's given that to kind of change the world. And you can learn more about the book. You can learn more about his program at his website, TonyEdgell.com. And you can find the link in the show notes, or you can just go that way directly. Tony, any last thoughts, anything you want to share?
Yeah, I'd like to share is I apologize to anybody that tonight or in the next few nights might not be able to sleep well or might wake up in the middle of the night and actually be staring at the ceiling. That means there's something stirring inside of you. You're starting to get in touch with something inside of you, with your purpose. And I know I've been there. I know exactly it's the start of what I'd like to call the calling.
Good. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Thriveology Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thriveology.com or at ThriveologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled T-H-R-I-V-E-O-L-O-G-Y. It's your life. Time to live it.